Welcome to the Modern Woodworkers Association, a podcast about woodworking from folk who woodwork. Woodworking is what we do, who we are, and what we like to talk about. So join us as we have a drink, sit around, and talk woodworking.
Hi, and welcome to the 318th episode of the Modern Woodworkers Association podcast. I'm Kyle Barton of K. Barton Tools, and I'm here with my co-host, Sean Wisniewski of the Corner Workshop. Today, we're asking Vic Hubbard the five questions. So welcome back to the show, Vic.
Hey.
And we'll get started. So how did you get into woodworking?
Well, my wife and I were renovating an old 1910 Craftsman home, and it was, you know, lath and plaster on the walls and everything, and we were trying to
framing, right?
Oh, yeah, the bloom framing and everything, yeah. But we were trying to, like, maintain everything and keep the plaster and everything like that. Well, and so we were going to finish and redo everything in place. And, you know, it had, like, 50 years or plus more of probably lead-based paint on all the trim. Yeah. And it was untenable. So I decided to, I'm going to buy a planer. And I'm just going to take this off, and we're going to, you know, not worry about the walls. We're going to sheetrock them, and at that point, that's when I decided to start the collecting tools, and other than construction tools, I already had a framing nailer and stuff like that. But I started collecting woodworking tools, and my first one was the planer, and the second one was that 1936 Delta drum sander, which still to this day is the worst engineered drum sander. Do not buy it secondhand. Yeah. Don't pay more than $15 if you get it. it's a horrible design. The table goes up and down instead of the head. And so every time I had to, I took an eighth of an inch off of a board, I had to readjust all my in feet out feet tables. You know, and we're talking. You know, I mean, I had some of my wood trim that was 12-13 feet long or higher, more, you know?
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. So, yeah. So I still have a bad taste. Now I have a Supermax 2550, and I'm extremely happy with that tool.
Yeah. But, they make good ones. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Unless you want to go to the big dual. The time savers and whatnot.
Before I do that, I'm going to buy a sliding. A true sliding table. So I have the Excalibur slider, on my table. But I mean, before I go and purchase an actual belt sander, I'm gonna go ahead and get a real table saw.
There you go.
The real deal. All right. Yeah. So much talk about tools. What is your favorite tool?
I was trying to answer this. So on the hand tool side, it'd be hands down, it's the spoke shape. I get so much joy. I have the full three of them from Lee Valley, and then I also have the one that's for a wine barrel. I think it's called a wine barrel spoke shape. It's a good foot and a half long, and so you don't rack your. I think the idea is so you don't rack your knuckles when you're trying to use it. Mm-hmm. I bought that when I was making Gretchen's cradle. And that was my first spoke shave, and still my favorite spoke shave because it's just allows me to do stuff that's it's just fun. I mean, whenever I can get over there and block plane's fun, all the other planes are fun, but the spoke shave is just I feel like a little girl, I go squee, woo. It's a lot
of fun. I'd recommend getting Caleb James's wooden spoke shaves. Those are sweet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, I'm not I'm willing to always look at stuff, but I'm not nostalgic or romantic about woodworking stuff.
Yeah.
I love Lee Valley over Lee Nielsen probably. Yeah. 100% of the time, just because they're more innovative and their stuff is, anyway, on the other side of my wall, the power tool side, it's got to be the multi-router or the bandsaw. Both of those are just absolute blast to play with, you know.
Uh-huh. What bandsaw do you have?
I have the Rikon 10-325 Deluxe, but I've also I originally retrofitted the Carter bandsaw guides onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still was never really happy with those, and you know, I know that's, you know, blasphemy some places, but I Rikon came out with when they did their, I think it's the 326. It was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the newer version. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They had them at Fine Woodworking, I think. But the new version of the guides, oh my God, they're just so nice. I had a bandsaw blade, the Lennox 3 TPI little carbide tip blade,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just blam. Went off on me, so I had to change it out and put a new bandsaw blade on it, and it's so sweet. It's like they're all spring loaded, and you just have to push them to the blade and twist mm-hmm. it, and you're done. You know, it's just so sweet. I highly recommend if you need to retrofit your guides, if you need new guides, get the new Rikon guides. They're huge too. They're like almost twice the size bearing as the other normal guides. So fun stuff.
Awesome. Cool. Well, so who has influenced you the most in your woodwork?
And we kind of covered that in the last thing. So Norm.
Yeah, wanting you to put it on the record right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. So it would first be Norm, you know, Norm. And I would say actually Norm probably from This Old House first.
Okay.
I became aware of Norm first from This Old House and then started watching. And this was in the Steve days, right?
Right.
Old House, and then
whatever happened to him?
I think he's sailing the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I didn't watch This Old House much when God, what was his name? The first guy. Nobody liked him. I don't think so. But
are you talking about
It'll come
before
to you.
Bob Vila?
Oh no, it was Bob Vila. Yeah, okay. That was the guy. Yeah.
Bob Vila. Okay.
I think Bob Vila always came across as like he really knew what he was doing, but he really didn't. You know, it's like he'd be like, "Oh yeah, well Norm's over here, you know, doing this rebate. Is that what it is, Norm? Rebate, right?" yeah.
Hammond for the camera.
Yeah, yeah. But so Norm first, and then you know, then when David Marks came along, I was like.
Mm.
That was like, okay, this is real woodwork. I mean,
right.
Norm was like, Brad Nails is like, oh yeah, we can make this. You know, it's like, I did a kitchen. On the 1910 house, we were putting in the kitchen. My buddy was teaching me, you know, construction all these years. We set the first cabinet, right? And the first cabinet's like the key cabinet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I was like, it's like, you know, it's not quite. There, Ken, is as well with the wind tolerance, right? And so I'm, you know, so we set that, and I'm he leaves. I'm starting to set every cabinet after that, and it's like I'm getting farther and farther off of everything, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like so. It became a running joke every time my wife, had me do something, and she was like, is that good enough? And I said, well, it's within tolerance. So. And then after David, it was a guy named Neil Lehman's Furniturology. As far as influences, you know, of course I'm friends with like Mark Spagnolo, and I've followed his progress, and I've got seriously almost every episode or every project he's put out on the Guild.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's just because I love the guy and. I want him to. I always wanted him to succeed. I was ecstatic when Nicole got to start staying home,
mm-hmm.
It's like it's a family business, and he's good people. But Neil Lehman's Furniturology, he had this show, and I think it's still out there. I think you can still find it. But he would, is an education in mid-century modern furniture, and always really cool stuff. He actually interviewed Hans Wegner. It was really cool. And then
he had a bunch of good interviews on there too. Yeah.
And my wife, my German wife would bring home these Schoner Wohnen catalogs, which were – it's called Better Living, actually, from Germany. And they just, you know, had – it was like I guess we have a magazine in the Northwest called Sunset. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but it's you know, it's just like a kind of like almost an architectural magazine, but it's also a lifestyle type magazine and stuff. And it was like that. And then, you know, I'm divergent from most woodworkers, and I love IKEA. I mean, for me, IKEA is like the landed as a furniture designer for IKEA, I would have like thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Because I mean, they're dealing with very strict box to deal with, you know, because they have to flat pack everything. Everything has to be flat packed and be able to ship.
Right.
And still make something that's beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think they more often than not do actually accomplish that. You know. Yeah. True. They have a lot of crap, and their hardware has lacked over the years, but right. They've gotten a lot better, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, Sylvia and I, you know, when we started out, I was a FedEx courier, and she worked as a assistant to a GM at a local hotel, and so we did not make money, and you know, our entire house was like, you know. It was either you know, secondhand or IKEA. So you know, so I actually like it. You know, it's to this day it's very inspiring for me to look at it. And then, you know, now that Domino's has their breakdown furniture hardware, oh my God, I'm like trying to come up with like, well, let's see, if I want to make stuff and we think maybe we're gonna move to Germany someday, I should make this. I should figure out how to like make this really cool and make it break down.
Yeah, why pack it over there? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Easily, absolutely. I mean, yeah. it is you know, super simplistic and simple in design and really, you know, quality at the same time.
I still daily use those. What were those iconic bentwood Baltic birch plywood chairs
that they have.
Those are super super comfy.
Yeah,
you know, it's a Wagner design that they stole, but you know, still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You know, and they I think they are still the number one consumer of wood product in the world.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah, but you know, I mean, so I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, we become less of a throwaway society, but you know, I don't have great hope for it.
Yeah.
I hope, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Crazy. So I mean, you're leading everything into the kind of on that society comment. What's been your biggest stumbling block if it wasn't the society we exist in currently?
No, for me, it's like like I said, I suffered all my life from anxiety related depression, and so I can, like, I have this weird thing that happens, like when I finish a project, even like today, like I said, I just finished this table, I finished these coasters, and there's Lazy Susan for it that go along with it. We're delivering those on Friday to my friends, and there's this huge letdown after I'm done. You would think that I'd be like elated because it was done, right? But no, it's just this huge letdown, and there's that, and then, you know, so sometimes I struggle to get back into the shop. I've been better now because I'm anal about keeping my shop clean. So after everything that I do, I clean up again. So it's all ready to go. There's no remnants of the project there anymore. And that helps me kind of like go into something else. But yeah, fear of failure is just like on a par, like up with, you know, you talk about, you know, you have those nightmares where you woke up and you're in class and you're naked and,
yeah,
you know, whatever, you know, it's like, no, but the idea that you make something and you spent all this time and you've done all this stuff and it doesn't work, you know? And like, I mean, my most fun projects, though, have been projects that I've done on the fly. I did a coffee table not too long ago, and I, you know, I had this shape basically, you know, because we had bought this new couch and I wanted a coffee table for it. So I had, it needed to fit in this space. And so I just went from there and then kind of like reverse engineered it and was like, okay, well, it's going to look like this and this and this and like, and then, you know, and, it was also the first table that I built that I didn't use any clamps. I used, CA glue as clamps and 5-minute epoxy. So it was really fun, but yeah, but you know, that's getting past fear of failure is just, really a huge thing. And then getting past that, you know, it's like, I don't even know what to call it. You know, when I finish something, I just have this like gap of like, my self-worth is like gone from, I'm doing something really good, really cool, really fun, you know? And then it's like, oh, you don't have anything you're doing anymore. You're not worth anything anymore. You know, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it exactly, but yeah, it's a weird thing, but you know, it's my weird thing.
Well, no, I think, yeah, there are a lot of people that have that. Yeah. I can, in some aspects I can relate. So, yeah. So how has the internet influenced your work?
Oh, well, and
I think we've been talking about this on and off.
Well, I mean, how you not? I mean, it's like, really, that's how we know each other. And
and that's what we're doing right now. So,
I mean, like I said, you know, I from the very early days of Mark, when he decided to move into like trying to put out some videos and say, well, I think I can teach. And you know, and Nicole, you know, like, God bless her, you know, was, you know, supporting him in that dream, you know, and sending him off to David's place out in Santa Barbara to, you know, like learn a little bit. I'm lucky I have a wife that's similar. You know, I could have, if I wanted to really like walk away from what I was doing, I could have done it, you know, because she would have supported that. But I retired when I was 55 and think she'd probably liked me to work till I was 60, but you know, I'm working hard.
Hey, I'm right there with you. That's when I retired. Yeah, 50. So well, no, I was 53.
But you know, I'm doing a lot for her, you know.
Yeah.
I early on when we were remodeling the old 1910 house, you know, she, you know, like we renovated the bathroom, and she had talked to a friend of hers and said, well, how much did that bathroom remodel cost you? Oh, it was like $45,000. Oh, okay. Oh. So it's like, I can put a dollar value on you. that works. So, but you know, we had Mark early on. And then, like I said, you know, I've met people like Seth Rowland, who, he teaches out at the Port Townsend School of Woodworking. And, met people like Adrian Ferrazzuti that, you know, it's like I've got, you know, his phone number, and it's amazing. If you ask, and I encourage you all to ask people, like, if you have a question and you don't know how to do it, you know, somebody that might be able to answer the question, you know, reach out to them and find out if they can help you out. Cause I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, they're going to be willing to like, pick up the phone and talk to you for a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, now, mind you, I always offer to pay everybody for their time, because you know, woodworking as a living is not a what you call a lucrative field most of the time. I mean, there's a few people that have been able to do it and make a good living, but I can tell you, I made the right decision staying in the regular world of you know, energy efficiency. I made a lot more money there than I would have ever made as a woodworker. But reach out, man. I tell you what, you will, if nothing else, have somebody either give somebody a good chuckle, or you'll have a good chuckle yourself. Mm. So.
No, and this community is great. There's so many great people, and it's fantastic. But.
Mm-hmm. And then there's you guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know,
no, we
do this podcast, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the Modern Woodworker Association was I think it was just started like right before 2011.
Yeah, 2000.
And, was yeah. it? When was it?
Yeah, it was the 2010 Woodworking in America where the whole concept kind of got started.
That happened. Okay. So the shirts and the really start was the 2011 show.
And so, you know, it's the people you met and it's I hate to say this, you know, it's like I was a little disappointed when the whole YouTube community hopped on WIA.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was like I don't want to go there for that because it was just too many people and they were like not that, you know, it's like there's some I mean like Macromona, I love the guy. Yeah. And, but there's a lot of people that are doing it, you know, more as like, this is a way for me to make a living than I really love this. And this is a way for me to like make a living doing this.
Right.
You know, and there's a difference between the two.
Exactly.
And when woodworking in America started including YouTube celebrities, it kind of jumped a shark, you know, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know? And I love Megan. I understand why she made that choice, but I'm happy that she's back to her roots and working with Chris and at Lost Arts, you know, because that's the best of these people. Great people.
For sure.
But the old days, you know, when we were a smaller community. It was really cool.
We were like the punk rock woodworkers.
Yeah. It was a little bit of fun, you know? I mean, exactly. You go there and everybody knew everybody, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, there's these people that are really famous, you know, and everybody wanted to see them. No, everybody wanted to see the guy that, you know, is not famous, you know? It's like, yeah. Hey, Mark, how's it going? And it's like, hey, Diami, how's it going, man? You know, and that's you know, and that was the fun of the first Woodworking in America for me was that, you know, it was like seriously we were up till like I don't know, we closed the bars Shannon was out with Heather, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know the spouses were there and it was like a you know family thing and it was family R-rated, but you know. It was awesome.
A good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yes. Well, I was
hoping it happens
Cincinnati.
Again sometime
yes.
soon.
Oh God, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, like I do want to try out that fine woodworking because I mean I love Ben.
It's a good time. It reminds me a lot of WIA.
Early,
yeah.
The early,
I mean,
early.
You know, and there's you know there's the bunch of the regulars, you know. Diami and myself were always there. Wilbur Pan, Brian Brazil, you know, there's a lot of the old gang that shows up and a lot of new people too that we know now. So it's fantastic. It's a fantastic nice. Time. Yeah.
Well, you know, and Mike Pekovich, I was just like, well, you know, just saw that, he's got promoted to the, to a position. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know if that means he's not going to be on the podcast anymore. I don't know, we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure he will,
but you know, I love having Ben there because I mean Ben's just mm-hmm. awesome. He's really up the internet game for them.
Oh mm-hmm. yes yeah, and he's good people. He's fantastic. He's
really good, yeah. And his wife, have you ever seen, if you follow Katie?
I don't follow her, but I've seen some of the stuff that Ben posts. Oh. You know, some of her weaving and stuff.
Off the hook man it's like hey baby, how would you like to like get into like weaving and upholstery and stuff? It could be a whole thing, you know. It'd be something we could do together when we're retired, you know, both retired. Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, cool. Well, with that, so Vic, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
At Tumblewood Creations. And on Instagram, which anything else, right?
That's right.
True story.
So, Sean, what about you? Where are you on Instagram?
I'm SeanW78 on Instagram. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me at Bart.Kyle on Instagram, the only social media platform that matters. And with that, that just about wraps it up for this show. So, If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. Then you'll never miss any of our exciting episodes. And while you're there, please leave us a review.
And thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at @MWA_national, on Instagram at @MWA_podcast, or like the MWA on Facebook. The best thing you can do is tell a friend, though. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.